And they returned to Jesus and told him what they had done and what they had taught. I'm curious, how many of you came to church this morning expecting to share with all of us all the good you did this last week? You guys didn't come to church expecting that? This is actually what happens, though, with the disciples. You may recall 2 weeks ago in the gospel that the disciples were sent out on the very first mission trip. The very first mission trip of Jesus' disciples. And Jesus commissioned them, and Jesus sent them out to teach, to heal, and to preach. And they did it. And so they return, and now they're going to tell Jesus the good that God had done through them in their mission trip. It might be uncomfortable for us to think that this is what we're going to do with church, but I would say yes, even here, even in this Lutheran church, this does happen. The youth that are being sent out today, we hope that when you come back that you, like all the other youth that have gone out from this church before you and in so many other churches, when you return, you'll be able to share with us the good you have done in the name of Jesus. This week, we also had a funeral for Brenda Stuckey, a very beloved member of this church. And at the end of the service, as I will do in all funerals, I commended her to Jesus, a sheep of his fold and also a sinner of his own redeeming. And yes, there is a need for Brenda, for all people, for redemption. The service was in many ways a celebration of who Brenda was and what Brenda had done, the good works that had been done through her as a child, as a sibling, as a wife, as a mother, as a nurse, as a church member, as a community member, as a sower, as so many things in which she was active in her life. Of course, a funeral speaks to the need we all have for resurrection, that we are mortal. And at a funeral, we praise the living God who, out of sheer and abundant grace, has chosen to forgive us and raise us up to new life. But a funeral is also a chance for the church on earth and in heaven to celebrate the good that has been done through a particular saint while they are alive. I also think that this last year, in many ways, was a mission trip that began last March, and there were all these strange circumstances that we had to react to and learn and grow. And I feel that if Jesus were to listen to us, which I actually think he is doing, I would want to say, Jesus, in the last year, some really good things happened in our congregation. Some really awesome things happened in your name. One of them is that we could do this service this last week, this funeral service online, something we could not have done a year and a half ago. And so family that could not travel for the funeral able to hear the service, hear the words of Gene about his wife, hear the sons deliver the readings, hear the music, hear the prayers. Again, this is something that I think we can rejoice in. And because she's going to be retired in a few weeks, I'm going to throw in, I think the Lord would say, way to go, Pam, at the end of your career, learning how to do all of this online stuff, right? I mean, the Lord is willing to celebrate, to listen to us, the good that we have done. But perhaps I get a bit too far ahead of myself, a bit too rosy in my sense of what we as humans can do, for I need to just read a little bit further in the story. And a little bit further in the story, the crowd comes along. And it turns out that the crowd has all sorts of needs. They're the broken, they're the bandaged, they're the wounded, they're the hungry. And they move Jesus, and Jesus has compassion on them, for they are like sheep without a shepherd. But the disciples' response is to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, send them away. They're too much for us. So the same disciples that on the one hand were saying, Lord, this is all that you have done through us, are now saying, Lord, send them away. We can't take them. What's going on here? Well, I think the Bible is clear, too, about the limits of us as humans. And I think in many ways we come to church each week like those disciples, like that crowd, where there's a deep hunger in us for compassion from Jesus. As a pastor, over time, I get to know you. And I get to know the burdens that you're bearing, the crosses that you're carrying, the sins that weigh you down. And it's striking that, you know, we all come to church kind of looking pretty presentable, like we have our lives together. But I know that I could go down any pew, I could go to any cluster of you, and we could sit down. We could go one by one. Right? And the first person I could meet would be somebody whose child or grandchild has just had a child out of wedlock. And they're terrified about what this means. The next person is a child who's going to go to a new school the next year. And it's making them so nervous that they're losing sleep. They're waking up at night with stomach cramps. The next person is somebody who they can't hire people where they work, and they're worried about being able to keep going as a business. The next person is deep in grief, and they think it's over their father who died last year, but they really can't put their finger on it. And the next person has just been diagnosed with something, and they haven't even admitted to their spouse yet what they've been diagnosed with. I could go on. I could go on and on, because all of us come each Sunday with stuff that's weighing us down. And some of that is because we have failed in life. And other times it's simply that's the way that life is unfolding, seemingly not in our favor. And so we again come each week as those who are in need of compassion. And so what is it then? Are we virtuous heroes in our story? Or are we sort of bumbling sinners? Well, I don't think it's really an either or. It's a both and. It's a both and. This is who we are as people. Today we heard from Ephesians chapter 2, and we could have gone back just a few verses, verses 9 and 10. For it is by grace through faith that you have been saved. For you are God's handiwork, created for the good works that God predestined to be your way of life. We are saints and sinners. We are broken yet beautiful, and we experience life sometimes profoundly able to do the good that God has called us to do, and other times not at all. And I want to be clear that I'm actually not saying that we're a 50-50 kind of meh mix. We're not some, again, sort of simple, even sort of sort of pudding that's been smoothed over. We're a lumpy dough. We're a lumpy dough, again, with certain parts of our life that are very raw and certain parts that are just celebratory. And I think this can be really helpful when we start to think about other people as well. I think about a lot of the dialogue right now in America about reckoning with our past. And it might be good to understand that humans are complex. People like George Washington, they owned slaves, and they knew it was wrong. This was bad. But somebody like George Washington also said, I'm not going to usurp power, I'm going to give it over, thus ensuring a peaceful transition and laying the foundation for a democracy that has lasted almost three centuries. It turns out, again, that we as humans are a complex lot of sinner and saint. And I think what this means for our faith is that the experience we have before God is not a singular one. Faith is a bit muddier. Sometimes God comes to us and all we can do is say, Lord, you have worked in my life. And I was able to have a patience and a courage and a strength I didn't think was possible. Other times we sense God pushing us on, telling us to keep fighting, hang in there, that it's going to get just a little bit better. But other times, you know, the voice of God has come to us clear as day and told us that we have fallen short of the mark. And other times, we've just given up on ourselves and we realize that for no apparent reason, nothing that makes sense to us, God has not given up on us. But God is there cradling us, crying with us. Faith isn't so easy. It's a bit muddy because we as humans are complex. And so as a pastor, in some ways, I'm constrained here in that I can talk in generalities about what God is doing in your life. And I can say with certainty that God is at work in your life, conforming you to the image of Christ. enabling you to be a disciple in ways you didn't think were possible, yet at the same time putting to death the sinner inside of you. But what this actually looks like in your lived experience, how it is that God shows up to work freedom and faith and resurrection in your life, that's work that I alone cannot do. I love it when people after the sermon tell me, "Pastor, you were speaking right to me." And I whisper, "I wish that I were." But this, of course, is the work of the Holy Spirit on your heart, that sacred dialogue where God is revealing to you, where God is at work in your life, hastening and chasing, encouraging, celebrating, humbling. Today, Jesus invites the disciples for some time away. And I think the truth is that in order for us to figure out what God is doing, we often need that time away. I've been on a lot of mission trips in my life, and there are two things that have been true about every mission trip. Well, three. The first is that I didn't sleep a lot. The second is that teenagers eat a lot of food. A lot of food. And the third is that each day, whatever mission trip I've ever been on, there's always a time of reflection, in the morning or in the night, a time when we get to kind of ponder in prayer and scripture what God is doing in our lives. And I think that's so important on mission trips, right, because there's so much going on. I think it's also important for teens because I sense that what helps teens have moved to an adult faith is when they can move from sort of creedal sense of who God is to a lived sense of God's presence in their lives. And I think devotions and reflection help move again from statements about God to who God is for me. But I don't think it's actually just for teenagers on mission trips, because each and every week, it is a mission trip for us. At the end of the service, you are sent out to bear Christ's holy name to this world, to live as a baptized disciple in all of the arenas of your life. And 1 week later, you come back and you bring with you your celebrations and your confession. But I sense along the way, we all are in need of that time when we can discern what God is doing in our lives. And I think that's especially true at this juncture of life right now, where we come and sort of the last year and a half was such this burden that in some ways I know that I'm free of, but I can't let it go. And although I rationally know I'm vaccinated, I'm going to be okay in the future, there's still a lot of anxiety out there. And in the present, like everyone else, I'm just trying to suck the very marrow out of life before restrictions or whatever comes back. So I'm living again in this weird state, I think we all are, of past, present, and future. And again, I think we all need this time to discern who God is. Where is Jesus in my life? What does it mean that I come? I come with profound celebration, yet also profound confession. The promise of today's scripture is not that we're going to get it right. The promise of today's scripture is that rather as we move through life, and at points God does work good in us, and at other points we cannot muster good in ourselves, that the Jesus that the disciples encountered is the Jesus that encounters us. And it's a Jesus that invites us to come to him, to tarry with him, to linger with him, and to share both our joys and our sorrows. For the heart of Jesus is big enough for both. Amen.